Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
All right, friends, as I said at the beginning of Mass, today we celebrate the solemnity of St. Joseph, the husband of Mary. And in the ranking of our feasts, solemnities are the highest of the rankings, right? So optional memorials, feasts, solemnities, that's the ranking. And this is the highest that we get. And I love that with this solemnity, I love that the title that the church distills down for Joseph, that at the end of the day, after all that could be said, he is the husband of Mary. It's a great high feast of his identity as husband. And I love the way that our church and her litanies, you got the litany of the Sacred Heart, litany of the Blessed Mother, litany of St. Joseph. I love these litanies that they're like these poetic, theological, reflections of these figures and of these realities. It's like turning this multifaceted diamond to see the mystery from all these different angles and aspects. And the titles that we get for St. Joseph and the litany of St. Joseph, here's just a few that I particularly love. Illustrious Son of David, Light of Patriarchs, Spouse of the Mother of God, Guardian of the Redeemer, Pure Guardian of the Virgin, Provider for the Son of God, Zealous Defender of Christ, and perhaps my favorite, Terror of Demons. That's a good one. Okay, so this gospel that we have today, we hear it every year at Christmas Eve. And I think in many ways, Joseph gets a bad rap because of this gospel. That we have this sense that he finds out the news that Mary is pregnant and he just decides to divorce her. He's just abandoning ship. He wants to separate himself from her. We think that that's why he wanted to separate himself. That's what he was attempting to do. Let me paint a different picture. So Mary, from the Annunciation forward, Mary spends the first 3 months of her pregnancy in Ein Karim, right? The hill country of Judah with Zechariah and Elizabeth. She returns after those 3 months, now obviously invisibly pregnant, and Joseph, right, he determines to divorce her quietly, not because he figured that she was unfaithful to him, but because he was filled with awe and reverence and fear, most of all, a fear and a sense of unworthiness. Why? Because he knew who Mary was, and he knew that God was accomplishing something huge in her. Mary had to give two fiats. She had to give her first fiat to Joseph and then her fiat to the angel Gabriel. And in that fiat to Joseph, she must have shared with him her deepest secret, right? That she had utterly consecrated herself to God. She was totally given over to him. And being the good and righteous Jew that Joseph was, he knew the scriptures, he knew the prophecies, he knew in particular the prophecy from Isaiah, right, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, bearing the name Emmanuel. Right, this was a man who deeply trusted her. He knew who she was. And so when she returns from Ein Karim, when she returns from the hill country of Judah, visibly pregnant, he immediately beholds that she's the Ark of the New Covenant, that God was accomplishing and fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah in his spouse, in his betrothed. And when he saw that she was the Ark of the Old Covenant, the Ark of the New Covenant, he was filled with fear. Why? I have to go back to the Old Testament, right? Israel makes its way out of Egypt into the Promised Land. The instructions that God gives Moses for the building of the tabernacle and the building of the ark, they're very specific instructions, right? This gilded box, angel cherubs hanging over the top of it, the mercy seat. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, you have the manna bread, the miraculous bread from heaven. You've got the law inscribed in stone. You have Aaron's high priestly staff. All of these things in the ark. As they make their way through the desert wandering, they finally settle into Jerusalem. Eventually, throughout time, the ark gets captured by the Philistines and it's lost to Israel's history. David, however, rises to power. The Lord calls David to be king. He recovers the ark. He recovers the ark, and he's bringing it back into the city of Jerusalem. It's being carried on these carts pulled by oxen, and the cart hits these rocks, and it begins to jostle, and there's a man named Uzzah who reaches out to steady the ark, and immediately Uzzah struck down dead. Bad day for Uzzah. So David sees this, and he thinks, I'm just going to wheel this thing into my city? I don't think it's a good idea. So he calls a man named Obed-Edom. Hey, Obed-Edom, I have a gift for you and your family. I'd like to give you the ark. Why don't you hold onto it for a little bit? Let's see what happens. So that's what Obed-Edom does. He receives the ark with incredible reverence, and his family flourishes. This whole David Old Testament background, this is why we have this as our first reading and as our psalm. Right? So Joseph, the son of David, he feels fear and unworthiness, seeing this incredible mystery entering into his life. Right? It's the same fear that filled Simon Peter when he sees who Jesus is at the miraculous draught of fishes, when he says, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." This is Joseph looking at Mary. "Depart from me. I'm not worthy of this." Which is such like a real husband thing to say and to feel, right? This task is beyond me. Lord, I'm not worthy to guard this mystery. You should have picked someone else, someone holier, someone stronger, someone smarter, someone more virtuous for this woman and for this child. I'm a broken man. And the angel comes to Joseph in the dream. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home because of what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And Joseph does. He takes Mary into his house. In the Greek, it's hos ta idia, meaning into his whole being, into his whole world. That's what a husband does. That's what a spouse does on the day of his wedding. He welcomes the mystery of this bride into the depth of his being. And as her husband, Joseph received the beauty and the gifts of her heart. Like he received the secrets of her ponderings and her concerns and her thoughts and her joys and everything that Mary pondered in her heart. I'm sure she shared it with Joseph. That's one of the images I love praying about, thinking of after Jesus is tucked in at night as a little boy, the conversations that they had. It's beautiful. And it's very human. So we turn to St. Joseph, the husband of Mary today, and ask him to pray for us and for our church. Amen.